In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Triodion is a treasure trove of lessons and repentance. It is truly an amazing book. You should all buy it and read it, not only hear the services, but also study them at home. I always read the Triodion texts before I come to church, and they're very edifying. They read like Scripture, or like an application of Scripture. And I wanted to share with you a few things that help us to know the state of mind that we should be in during Great Lent, and really all of our life, but especially focus on it during Great Lent, because we're weak people and we can't keep up with things sometimes. We can't be consistent with something every day, but for a period of time we can really apply ourselves. That's what Great Lent does, or what Great Lent is for truly applying ourselves to repentance. We have to understand what repentance is. Repentance is sorrow, but also joy. Repentance is knowing our sins, feeling guilty because of them, feeling unworthy of God because of them, but also in the same feeling, in the same thought, reaching out to God with confidence because He's our Father and He loves us. Our hymns are all like that. Just about every hymn we sang in the Vespers today basically said this, if you want to outline the hymn. I am a terrible sinner, but have mercy upon me. Basically, every hymn is that content, saying it in very poetic and beautiful ways. So we should learn to have this feeling. When I came to the Orthodox Church, I felt I'd found the most beautiful treasure. I just couldn't imagine anything more beautiful, because I'd been a believer in Christ for a period of time. And there wasn't this feeling of this deep need for healing in the prayer services that I was part of before. There wasn't this deep recognition that I'm an incomplete person and that I need help. In our Orthodox services, in the mind of the church, that feeling is omnipresent, but it's a joyful feeling. The world perceives this feeling as negative or even unbelief, not having enough faith. But those who understand it understand that this feeling is where the soul is crying out to God to be completed in Him, to be in full union with Him. And we cannot be in union with Him fully when our soul is full of sin. Not because God judges us, but because our sin makes it impossible for us to be in His presence, just like the apostles could not be in our Lord's presence at the Transfiguration. They fell down. They were afraid. So these hymns that I'm going to tell you are just a few among many that help us to develop this good feeling. And then the last one, if I get to it, will be, I think, an excellent prayer for us to say every day during the fast. And these are all from today's service. Actually, I'm taking them all from Matins, which we're about to celebrate. And the sessional hymns after Ode 3 of the Canon go like this. Adam was cast out from the delight of paradise. Bitter was his eating, when in uncontrolled desire he broke the commandment of the Master, and he was condemned to work the earth from which he himself had been taken, and to eat his bread in toil and sweat. Therefore, let us love abstinence, that we may not weep as he did outside of paradise, but may enter through the gate. This one I selected because it teaches us the reason for fasting. The reason we fast is because we're not abstinent people, because we indulge ourselves in all manner of sins, in our thoughts and in our actions. And lack of abstinence is what caused Adam and Eve to fall. They ate something they were not allowed to eat. They disobeyed God because of their own pride and their own self-will. And we disobey God because of our own pride and self-will all the time. And it is a fact, a psychological and a spiritual fact, that if you train yourself in discipline, in abstinence, in fasting, it carries over into many, in all other aspects of your life. So we abstain because we have this disease of self-indulgence. And self-indulgence gets us in trouble all the time. And so in a little way, we can abstain from certain foods, and we can teach ourselves to abstain from sins. Fasting in and of itself doesn't garner us any points, but what it does is trains us and sharpens our intellect. And we should feel, when we fast, the sting of human nature, the sting of that fall that occurred. The greatest catastrophe ever was the fall of man, because God created man for perfect union with him. And sin makes that impossible. But of course, with God, the things that are impossible are possible. And he sent his Son to become a man, to make possible the impossible. But even though that is true, we still feel the sting of sin. And so when we fast, we should hearken in our mind, not that I say you're thinking it, but that it's sort of part of your being, that you're fasting because your forefather did not fast. And his weakness is your weakness. You share with him those weaknesses. And they can be fixed by fasting with faith and by prayer with faith. So that's why we fast. But we also always fast with hopefulness, not to fulfill a rule, but because there's something incomplete in us, and we want to be made complete. So there is an expectation and a joy in our fasting, not just about rules. And that's but what this hymn basically teaches, and you'll see it throughout the whole Triodion. It'll talk about fasting in this way. The next sessional hymn is, "The season of the virtues now has come, and the judge is at the door. Let us not hold back with darkened face. Let us keep the fast, offering tears, contrition, and almsgiving, and let us cry, 'Our sins are more than the number of the sand of the sea, but deliverer of all, forgive each one of us, that we may receive an incorruptible crown.'" Here it is, that pattern that I told you is repeated over and over again in our prayers. I didn't see it in prayers until I became Orthodox. And that is, I am a sinner, I am wretched, I am incomplete, I am despondent, and yet, God, you will help me. I know that you will help me. It's in the same breath. We say our sins are more than the number of the sands of the sea, but deliver of all, forgive each one of us, that we may receive an incorruptible crown. We should never think of our sin without thinking of God's mercy. I've told you all many times that the most dangerous time regarding sin is after we sin. How are we going to react to our sin? We are sinners. Let's just admit it. And when we sin, what are we to do? We are to say, "My sins are innumerable. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But we are to remember that the publican, he came away from that prayer justified, consoled, made righteous. So we should also, with our prayers, admit that we're sinners, but have joy that our Lord will help deliver us from our sin. I tell you, this is the greatest thing about Orthodoxy for me. Our understanding of the human person, and that we have sins, and that God will deliver us. I never understood it when I was a Protestant Christian, that the whole definition of salvation was you're forgiven your sins. I couldn't understand that. It didn't make sense to me, because the Lord said, and we quoted it all the time, "I came that that ye might have life and might have it more abundantly." We quoted this it all the time, but didn't understand what it meant. It didn't mean the forgiveness of sins. It meant the eradication of sins. And that will be, that is possible. That will happen. And with the eradication of sins comes union with God. So let's always remember, when you sin, repent. Repent bitterly with tears, but always with expectation and with joy that God is merciful to you. One more thing, and this is a prayer that I would suggest that you would say every day. It's the Kontakion for this Sunday. O Master, guide to wisdom, giver of prudent counsel, instructor of the foolish and champion of the poor, make firm my heart and grant it understanding. O Word of the Father, give me words, for see, I shall not stop my lips from crying out to Thee. I am fallen, in Thy compassion have mercy on me. That same pattern. I am fallen, but have mercy. And what we're asking God for in this prayer is the wisdom to be able to fully understand our sin and His mercy. None of us really do understand either one of those things. Our sin nor His mercy. But the holy, they understand their sin and they understand God's mercy and they become powerful, as the scripture says, more than conquerors. They mount up like eagles. So let us use this period of Great Lent for understanding our sinfulness, but not in a morose way, not in any kind of self-flagellation way. Self-flagellating way, I guess I would say it. Let us instead tell the Lord that we are sinful, and then in the same breath say, but have mercy on me, and believe it. And if you couple this with fasting, with effort, with prostrations, the soul becomes light and joyful. This can only be understood if it is practiced. You only understand it if you do it. I tell you, there is great joy in Great Lent. It's the most joyous time of the year because our healing is upon us. May God help us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.